Well, my name is Melody, and I'm going to be teaching this morning the theme, which is Our Life Transformed, Discovering the Beauty of a Changed Life. And I'm going to be talking from 2 Corinthians 5:17. That's kind of the scripture I'm building this teaching on, which says, when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He's not the same anymore. A new life has begun. Now, we may not see it at first, or maybe for a long time, but when we accept Christ as our Savior, a new life has begun in us. God has given us His promise. He has guaranteed that our destiny will include inner renewal and outer transformation. We will begin to look and act a lot like Jesus. However impossible that may seem, it's still God's promise to us. And in nature, God has allowed us to witness that promise unfolding as a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. So I want to tell you a story about a caterpillar named Sid, but before I do, let's pray. Lord, I am thankful this morning that just as the caterpillar is destined to become a butterfly, we as your daughters are all destined to become like you. Transformation is a promise that you've made to us. So I pray that you will take this teaching and this time to show us how to become more like you. Amen. All right. Well, Sid, the ugly caterpillar. He was an ugly caterpillar with orange eyes. He spent his life groveling and squirming in the dirt on God's earth. He probably never imagined that his life would ever be any different. But one day, Sid got this terrific idea. He crawled up the stem of a bush, made his way to a branch, and secreted a fluid onto that branch in the shape of a tiny button. He turned himself around and attached himself to that button. He curled up in the shape of a J and proceeded to build a house around himself. There was a lot of activity for a while, but before long, Sid was entirely covered up, and you couldn't see him anymore. Everything became very, very still, and you may have concluded that nothing was happening. But as a matter of fact, plenty was going on. Metamorphosis was taking place. One day, Sid began to raise the window shades of his house. He let you look in and see a variety of colors. On another day, an eruption took place, and Sid's house shook violently. The little cocoon jerked and shook until a large, beautiful wing protruded from one of the windows. Then it shook again, and another butterfly wing came out from another side of the house. And at this stage of Sid's life, you might have wanted to help, but you didn't, for if you tried to pull the rest of Sid's house off, you would maim him for the rest of his life. So you let Sid convulse and wriggle his way to freedom without any outside intervention. Eventually, Sid got his house off his back, ventured out onto the branch, and spread his beautiful wings. He was nothing like the old worm he used to be. No longer crawling in the dirt, he was flying in the sky and enjoying the beauty of God's creation from a totally different perspective. Now, as you heard that story, you may have sighed to yourself and said, well, that may be the way it works for a caterpillar named Sid, but somehow in my life, transformation is not a happening thing. I still feel like Sid, swallowing the dust, not smelling the flowers. Well, no matter how we feel, the truth is, as a child of God, we have received the promise of a new life. Remember, the caterpillar never imagined that his destiny was to go from a worm that crawled through life to a beautiful creature that soared above the flowers. His view of life was always from the ground up. He had what I like to call a caterpillar mentality. Kind of reminds me of the old cartoon I used to watch as a kid. Anybody remember Popeye the Sailor Man? Well, when Popeye was frustrated, or he didn't know what to do, or he felt inadequate, he would simply say, I am what I am. He couldn't or he wouldn't see himself as anything else. He had a caterpillar mentality, and that was as good as it was going to get. Well, that statement doesn't anticipate much growth, does it? Don't get your hopes up, he seemed to say. Don't expect too much. I am what I am. And then he would add in his bleakest of moments, that's all that I am. That's the sad cry of the human race. We've all said those words in our own ways. But the good news is, regardless of our failures, past, present, or future, Despite our blemished character traits, if we are God's child, you and I are bound for change, just like said the caterpillar. In fact, the change has already begun in us. When we were born again, we received God's DNA in the form of the Holy Spirit, who now resides in our hearts. We may feel frustrated at the pace of our progress, but God isn't. He's never in a hurry. He sees the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. He knows just exactly how much time is necessary for change to take root in our lives. He sees every day as an opportunity to work small changes in us. And according to God, every day is what I like to call a doodah day. You know, kind of like that old Disney song, Zippity Doodah. We're going to sing it. You know it. You know it. All right, on the count of three. One, two, three. Zippity doodah, zippity a. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. Plenty of sunshine heading my way. Zippity doodah, zippity a. Give yourself applause. Yay! I love that song. Well, it kind of reminds me of my kids when they were little. And I think if you're a mom, you would agree. Every day to them is a doodah day. It's a new adventure to start all over again. In fact, every morning when my kids were little, my two older ones would stand outside the door of their brother's bedroom waiting for him to wake up. The minute they'd hear him stir in his crib, they'd run in, and they had this little song they wrote for him. And they would sing the song and dance and giggle around the room, and he'd be in his crib laughing and smiling. And I'd watch them, and I'd think to myself, kids just find such joy in even the littlest of things. And I think, you know, that's true of God, too. In fact, we're told in the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3, verse 17, that the Lord your God is in your midst. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will rejoice over you with singing. I love that. It's almost like God waits for us to wake up in the morning so that he can rejoice over us, so that he can remind us that his mercies are new every morning, that his grace is sufficient for all of our needs. It's like he's saying, hey, wake up. It's a doodah day. Because, you see, joy is God's basic character. The well-known writer Dallas Willard says of God, he is the happiest being in the universe. And that may surprise you because we think of Jesus as the man of sorrows. But we know that his joy far outweighs his sorrow. He came that our joy might be full. In Hebrews, we're told that there but for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Jesus knew that his death would usher us into the kingdom of God, and for that reason, he could rejoice. C.K. Chesterton says, the joy we see in the happiest child is but a fraction of the joy that resides in the heart of God. And God's intent is that we should mirror his joy. So the question needs to be asked, are we rejoicing in all the little steps we take towards change? Because I believe God is. Did you know that God gets excited at even the smallest of change that occurs in our lives? Just take a look at the book of Zechariah, chapter 4, verse 10, for confirmation. Here the prophet Zechariah tells the people, do not despise the day of small beginnings, for the eyes of the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. And why did Zechariah say this? Well, at the time this was written, the temple was in the process of being rebuilt. And there were some very negative people who thought the work that was being done was insignificant. So Zechariah reminded the people that God was in the rebuilding business. And by God's Spirit, it would be completed one brick at a time. And you and I are God's temple. So we should also rejoice in the small changes that occur within us. Why not shout hallelujah when today we say yes to God instead of our normal no? That's never going to happen. For the truth is, change has happened, it's happening right now, and it's going to happen in the future, one brick at a time. Even in those moments when we are at our worst, everything exposed so that our cellulite is showing, God is at work. And we are more than what we seem. God's LeVon goes, ah! God says to us, you are what you are, But that's not all that you are. You are what you are, but you are not yet what you will be. This is what's meant by Kierkegaard's wonderful prayer, which is our theme for this morning. And now, Lord, with your help, I shall become myself. Our story is a story of transformation. Sid the caterpillar becomes a unique butterfly, and you and I become the person that God had in mind when he originally designed us. Paul confirms this when he says in Ephesians 1:12, God has designs on us for glorious living. If we forget this truth, we may end up spending our days looking at life with a caterpillar mentality instead of a butterfly perspective. Kind of like this guy. Johnny Erickson Tada wrote about him in a book. And she said, she describes her encounter like this. When I was hospitalized as a teenager, I met a man who was crippled by a severe limp. I'd see him every morning hobbling down the hallway on his lame joints with the aid of a walker. All of us on the floor were looking forward to the day when radical surgery would correct his disability. That day finally came. The surgeons opened him up and replaced several of the diseased joints. His lameness was cured. He was no longer a cripple. Yet for nearly a year after that successful surgery, the man continued to limp. I remember seeing him when he came back to the hospital for a visit, walking with a limp, aided by his walker. I commented to the doctor one day, well, it's a shame the surgery didn't take. The surgeon shook his head and said, oh, but it did take. You see, that man lives out of nothing more than habit. Sometimes bad habits are hard to break. It would be the same for Sid if after becoming a butterfly, he decided to crawl back down the bush and start groveling and squirming in the dirt like a caterpillar. See, God's promise to us is that we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. According to the great physician, our radical surgery was a complete success. Back in the late 90s, every six-year-old was enthralled with a group of teenagers called the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. There they are. The shows were a huge hit in the United States, even though they were Japanese and they were poorly dubbed in English. But that didn't matter to the kids. The show's appeal was the character's ability to morph. You see, by day, they were just your average teenager, but when a crisis occurred, they would shout, "It's morphing time!" and access a power beyond themselves to be transformed into these superheroes fighting for justice. The show was so popular that the term morph became a part of American vocabulary. Of course, it's not only six-year-olds who want to morph. The desire for transformation, it lies deep within every human heart. That's why people join health clubs, make New Year's resolutions, and attend motivational seminars. I am what I am doesn't always make for a fulfilling life. And this little word morph has a long history. It actually comes from one of the richest Greek words in the New Testament, the word morpho. And that means the inward and real formation of the essential nature of a person. It was the term used to describe the formation and growth of an embryo in a mother's body. Paul used this word in his letter to the Galatians, chapter 4, 19. My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you. He agonized until the Galatians could express the character and goodness of Christ in their whole being. We are like the Galatians, pregnant with possibilities of spiritual growth. Paul used another form of the word when he told the Christians in Rome that God had predestined them to be conformed to the image of his Son, Romans 8:29. That word is sammorphizo, which means to have the same form as another, to shape a thing into a durable likeness. Spiritual growth is a molding process. Just consider what must be going on in that cocoon for our friend Sid to become a butterfly. It's a holy and mysterious process that takes place in the inner chamber of our being as Christ is formed in us. Still another form of the word appears in Romans 12:2, when Paul says, we're not to be conformed to the world around us, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And this word is metamorpho. And that from that word comes the English word metamorphosis, which describes the transformation of the caterpillar into a butterfly. Yet, as the children of God, we undergo a change that makes that one barely noticeable. Like the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, because Christ lives in us, we have the opportunity to access a supernatural power that morphs us to extraordinary change. When Jesus came, he gave the promise to all who followed him that they would experience radical life change. Fishermen would become fishers of men. Prodigals would go home. Thieves would steal no more and repay what they had stolen. In his preaching of the good news, Jesus proclaimed freedom from whatever has held us captive, anything and everything that would keep Christ from being formed in us. He came with the gracious announcement that it's possible to live in such a way that when others see us, they'll say to themselves, "Wow, I didn't know that a life could look like that." Wouldn't that be nice? You see, a lot of people view life like Popeye, with little hope for change. It is what it is. I am what I am. But for you and me, we've been given the opportunity to see through the lens of the eternal God, who says, "I am who I am, and nothing is impossible for me. Nothing is too hard for me if you believe." Not only must we embrace the truth of transformation, we must also believe it's possible. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 1:16. "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it has the power to save or transform everyone who believes." And that word "believe" is very, very important. For us to experience true transformation, we must be able to take what we believe and transform it into how we live our lives. In other words, my beliefs must impact my choices, my behavior, and my attitude. And I think we can all agree that we all believe a lot of things that, you know, don't impact our behavior very much. Like, for instance, I can believe that exercise is really important for my health. I can read all the studies, I can know what the experts say, but the only exercise I get is from the couch to the refrigerator and back again. My belief about exercise has not impacted my life very much. So how we believe is just as important as what we believe. And according to the Amplified Version of this passage in Romans, this word "believe" is defined in the following three ways. We are to believe with, one, a personal trust. It's all about who we put our trust in. Proverbs 3 tells us to trust in the Lord completely with our whole heart. We must learn to trust God from the bottom of our hearts, as the Message Bible translates this verse. To experience the richness of becoming more like him, we must trust him wholeheartedly. And in that place of trust, I am forever changed. Second, we must believe with a confident surrender. My confidence in God allows me to surrender to his perspective, his purpose, and his plan for my life. In that place of surrender, I act differently than maybe I used to or want to. I can face disappointment, uncertainty, unexpected challenges with confidence as I surrender to him. Like David, standing before Goliath, I don't have to run away in fear. I can have the same attitude that he had and declare with all confidence that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. My God is bigger than any giant. And when I surrender, I am strong and I am forever changed. And last, third, we must believe with a firm reliance. When the going gets tough, who or what do I rely on? Is the foundation of my life built on sand, which could represent worldly trends and viewpoints, or on a firm foundation of faith in Christ? A life built on Jesus and his teachings will stand. It will stand in the trials and testings of this life, and it will stand in eternity. As I rely on his promises, I am forever changed. Personal trust, confident surrender, firm reliance. If we believe in this way, we will experience the joy of morphing. For morphing matters, and God has given us his promise that we will indeed morph. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for this gift of transformation that you have promised us. Help us to believe and surrender to the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit within us. And I pray that if anyone here is not sure if they've received this promise, you have yet to discover the beauty of a changed life in Christ, please don't leave this morning before seeking out one of us or one of the prayer team members who can share with you this wonderful gift, because it's yours if you believe. Amen.